anyone who needed it, or to anyone he happened to like. He was, in turn, loved by everyone because, being a master stalker, he conveyed to them his true feelings. He didn't give a plugged nickel for any of them.
I didn't say anything, but Don Juan was aware of my sense of disbelief or even distress at what he was saying. He chuckled and shook his head from side to side.
"That's stalking," he said. "You see, I haven't even begun my story of the Nagual Julian, and you are already annoyed."
He exploded into a giant laugh as I tried to explain what I was feeling.
"The Nagual Julian didn't care about anyone," he continued. "That's why he could help people. And he did. He gave them the shirt off his back because he didn't give a fig about them."
"Do you mean, Don Juan, that the only ones who help their fellow men are those who don't give a damn about them?" I asked, truly miffed.
"That's what stalkers say,"
he said, with a beaming smile.
"The Nagual Julian, for instance, was a fabulous curer. He helped thousands and thousands of people, but he never took credit for it. He let people believe that a woman seer of his party was the curer. Now, if he had been a man who cared for his fellow men, he would have demanded acknowledgement. Those who care for others care for themselves and demand recognition where recognition is due."
Don Juan said that he, since he belonged to the category of those who care for their fellow men, had never helped anyone. He felt awkward with generosity. He couldn't even conceive being loved as the Nagual Julian was, and he would certainly feel stupid giving anyone the shirt off his back.
"I care so much for my fellow man," he continued, "that I don't do anything for him. I wouldn't know what to do, and I would always have the nagging sense that I was imposing my will on him with my gifts. Naturally, I have overcome all of these feelings with the warrior's way. Any warrior can be successful with people, as the Nagual Julian was, provided he moves his assemblage point to a position where it is immaterial whether people like him, dislike him, or ignore him. But that's not the same."
Don Juan said that when he first became aware of the stalker's principles, as I was then doing, he was as distressed as he could be. The Nagual Elias, who was very much like Don Juan, explained to him that stalkers like the Nagual Julian are natural leaders of people. They can help people do anything.
"The Nagual Elias said that these warriors can help people to get cured," Don Juan went on, "or they can help them to get ill. They can help them to find happiness, or they can help them to find sorrow. I suggested to the Nagual Elias that instead of saying that these warriors help people, we should say that they affect people. He said that they don't just affect people, but that they actively herd them around."
Don Juan chuckled and looked at me fixedly. There was a mischievous glint in his eyes.
"Strange, isn't it?"
he asked.
"The way stalkers arranged what they see about people."
Then Don Juan started his story about the Nagual Julian. He said that the Nagual Julian spent many, many years waiting for an apprentice Nagual. He stumbled on Don Juan one day while returning home after a short visit with acquaintances in a nearby village. He was, in fact, thinking about an apprentice Nagual as he walked on the road when he heard a loud gunshot and saw people scrambling in every direction. He ran with them into the bushes by the side of the road and only came out from his hiding place at the sight of a group of people gathered around someone wounded, lying on the ground. The wounded person was, of course, Don Juan, who had been shot by the tyrannical foreman. The Nagual Julian saw instantly that Don Juan was a special man whose cocoon was divided into four sections instead of two. He also realized that Don Juan was badly wounded. He knew that he had no time to waste. His wish had been fulfilled, but he had to work fast before anyone sensed what was going on. He held his head and cried,
"They've shot my son!"
He was traveling with one of the female seers of his party, a husky Indian woman who always officiated publicly as his mean, shrewish wife. They were an excellent team of stalkers. He cued the woman seer, and she also started weeping and wailing for their son, who was unconscious and bleeding to death. The Nagual Julian begged the onlookers not to call the authorities, but rather to help him move his son to his house in the city, which was some distance away. He offered money to some strong young men if they would carry his wounded, dying son. The men carried Don Juan to the Nagual Julian's house. The Nagual was very generous with them and paid them handsomely. The men were so touched by the grieving couple who had cried all the way to the house that they refused to take the money, but the Nagual Julian insisted that they take it to give his son luck. For a few days, Don Juan didn't know what to think about the kind couple who had taken him into their home. He said that to him, the Nagual Julian appeared as an almost senile old man. He was not an Indian, but was married to a young, irascible, fat Indian wife, who was as physically strong as she was ill-tempered. Don Juan thought that she was definitely a curer, judging by the way she treated his wound and by the quantities of medicinal plants stashed away in the room where they had put him. The woman also dominated the old man and made him tend to Don Juan's wound every day. They had made a bed for Don Juan out of a thick floor mat, and the old man had a terrible time kneeling down to reach him. Don Juan had to fight not to laugh at the comical sight of the frail old man trying his best to bend his knees. Don Juan said that while the old man washed his wound, he would mumble incessantly. He had a vacant look in his eyes. His hands shook, and his body trembled from head to toe. When he was down on his knees, he could never get up by himself. He would call his wife, yelling in a raspy voice filled with contained anger. The wife would come into the room, and both of them would get into a horrible argument. Often she would walk out, leaving the old man to get up by himself. Don Juan assured me that he had never felt so sorry for anyone as he felt for that poor, kind old man. Many times he wanted to rise and help him up, but he could hardly move himself. Once the old man spent half an hour cursing and yelling as he puffed and crawled like a slug before he dragged himself to the door and painfully lifted himself up to a standing position. He explained to Don Juan that his poor health was due to advanced age, broken bones that had not mended properly, and rheumatism. Don Juan said that the old man raised his eyes toward heaven and confessed to Don Juan that he was the most